A recent investigative report takes an in-depth look at the frequent use of common medical tests and how the current process leaves more room for error, which can affect healthcare decisions.
As part of an ongoing series called Hidden Errors, the investigative team from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reviewed nearly 20 years of reports, studies, and data from regulators to shine a light on these what are called waived tests that are often considered foolproof.
But the report describes many of the tests as rarely scrutinized, easy to fumble, and sometimes inaccurate.
Ellen Gabler joins us now. She's a reporter and editor with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel who worked on the Hidden Errors report. Ellen, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, talk about these waived tests. That's waived as in waived of certain compliance requirements by law.
Right. They're called waived tests because they're essentially waived from regulation. And what that actually means is anybody is allowed to do these tests, and there's basically never any checks to see if they're being done right. And these are really common tests that almost all of us have received, you know, strep, flu, HIV, hepatitis, Lyme disease, drug tests, the list goes on.
And you write that when the law was first changed to allow these, there were 8 tests that were in this category. How many do we have now?
That's right. So there was just 8 back in 1988 when these tests were approved, and now there's more than 3,000.
And you say these are really common things. Almost all of us have experienced these. I assume when I'm getting a medical test, it's going to some super high-tech lab with some very well-trained researchers at it. What did you find? Who can do these tests without any oversight?
So Often your lab samples are going to a more complex lab, but increasingly clinics, emergency rooms, and even retail clinics like those at Walgreens and CVS are using these waived tests because they're convenient, they're cheaper, and again, anybody can do them, which, you know, sort of makes them cheaper as a result. They're not necessarily all bad, right? So what they allow for is they allow doctors to get information more quickly so they can treat you. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but what I found in the investigation was that these tests are commonly done incorrectly just because the people who are doing them don't really understand what they're doing.
Yeah, talk about how some of these tests can go wrong, some of the mostly user error that can lead to wrong readings.
That's right. So in my article, I wrote about a pregnant woman who received an unnecessary C-section after a waived test incorrectly said she was HIV positive. There was a patient who had an unnecessary kidney biopsy after a waived test concluded his kidneys weren't properly functioning. And in fact, the patient had been taking a drug that is known to interfere with the test, but the nurse or the doctor who was giving it to them didn't understand that. This spring, this is in the article as well, I spoke with a 68-year-old grandmother who called me. She was nearly in tears because her doctor had cut her off from her pain medication that she'd been taking for years because of back surgery. And this woman had gone into the doctor's office for a routine checkup, and she was given a waived drug test, which is basic protocol for patients on pain medication. Well, the medical assistant came into the room and said she had tested positive for methadone and oxycodone, which were two drugs she hadn't been prescribed. And so she was cut off of all of her drugs. So she had been insisting all along, you know, that she hadn't taken those drugs. In fact, she insisted that her urine sample be sent to another lab, and it came back and she had been telling the truth. But her doctor wouldn't reconsider, and it led to all sorts of problems for this woman. She had to find a new doctor. She was in extreme pain. She ended up in the emergency room. So in that case, it wasn't a life or death situation, but it was a very big deal in this woman's life.
A lot of times these tests are looked at as foolproof. And I think in that last case you cited, the person talking to you said the people in the doctor's office said, hey, the test doesn't lie. These are sold, these are billed as things that are going to get it right. Isn't that right?
That's right. So when they were approved back in 1988, they were supposed to be so simple and accurate that a mistake was almost impossible. What's happened over the past couple decades is more and more tests are getting approved for different conditions. And manufacturers change these tests from time to time. So, you know, they might say, okay, now you have to soak this sample in the solution for 10 minutes instead of 5 minutes. But what studies have found is that the people doing the tests don't, they don't pay attention to the directions, or they don't notice these changes. And so there are a lot of errors.
And does the FDA, I guess, or CDC or anyone have oversight over a lab, a doctor's office, a pharmacy doing these waived tests?
So that's kind of a complicated question, but in short, there's actually a federal law that says the facilities doing these tests cannot be regularly inspected by regulators. So they are allowed to do educational inspections of up to 2% of the facilities doing these tests. So again, that's doctor's offices, ERs, places like Walgreens and CVS. But last year they checked out 1%, so that's 1,800 of the 180,000 facilities doing these tests. So, and that's been a big source of frustration, actually, for regulators, is that they can't really, they say they can't really do much about this.
Talking to Ellen Gabler from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a report in a series called Hidden Errors. This part looks at medical testing. Tests are supposed to be more or less foolproof, but sometimes inaccuracies come up due to a lack of training, people not following the instructions, often updated instructions, not much oversight of it. Ellen, it sounds like it's hard to get a handle on how often these tests go wrong.
Definitely. So one of the things we do a lot in our investigations is analyze data to try to quantify a problem. You can't really do that with this because they aren't regulated. Nobody has a really good handle on how often there are mistakes. However, I was able to look at studies that have been done dating back for many years. And what was interesting to me was this has been a known problem. In 1999, there was a study done that found problems in more than half of the facilities doing waived tests. The Office of Inspector General's office issued a report in 2001 saying that there was serious problems with the facilities doing these tests. There was another report in 2005. And so there has been these, spot checks that are attempting to kind of figure out what's going on. In fact, actually last year there was a spot check that found that not even 50% of the facilities doing waived tests were complying with all policies and procedures they were supposed to be.
So, Ellen, given the upside of these tests, the fact, as you mentioned, that they can give fast results, they're relatively cheap, I imagine, compared to other kinds of testing, I'm guessing nobody's wanting to get rid of them, but are there calls to try to have more reliability, and what kind of changes are people looking for?
Well, you're right. We don't necessarily, I don't think it's a good idea to get rid of them, because they are, they can be really helpful. I think what the regulators do want is the ability to kind of check in on these facilities a lot more. What they found is when they're able to educate the people doing the tests, their compliance with procedures goes, skyrockets. So that's a really important part of this. As for, the tests that do get approved, that's, again, kind of a more complicated issue. There are a lot of researchers out there who say that too many tests are being approved for conditions that are complicated and shouldn't have a waived test approved for it.
Oh, and part of the problem, you write, is that, if my company comes out with one of these tests, it gets approved, gets put in this category. Once that happens, then someone else's company can come along, make a similar test, and the assumption is it will be just as easy, just as foolproof, so that second or third or fourth product might not get any kind of a separate review. Is that right?
Exactly. So the FDA is the agency that approves tests, and once one company has proven that something is, quote, safe and effective, other companies can basically make new tests. And that's something that researchers are very concerned about.
Is there any movement to change that and have those copycat-type products reviewed separately?
Not right now.
So You write that, like a lot of big pharmaceutical industry things, the people who run the labs, the people who make these products, have a pretty big vested interest in the status quo and not changing things. Do they seem to have a big voice in the future of regulation of these products?
Yes, that is, you know, that's something that is certainly a factor in all of this. The medical device companies, you know, they don't want more regulation, and the doctors and the doctors associations also want to be able to do these tests because, again, they can have people who, you know, don't require as much training do them, and it helps them save money.
From a consumer standpoint, is there anything people can do if they're in a situation where they take this kind of test? They probably even wouldn't know it's a wave test. I wouldn't if I were at the doctor's office. They get a result that calls for dramatic action. What should a consumer in that situation know, given that sometimes these tests will give a misleading result?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it has a tough answer because you're right. You wouldn't necessarily know, you know, who's doing your test, right, when you're at the doctor's office. What I think people can kind of think in their mind is if they're at a doctor's office and somebody comes back pretty quickly with a result, like within 2 to 15 minutes, that's probably a wave test. Of course, they can always ask. And I really do think it's important to question your test results. So if your doctor or another healthcare professional tells you something that doesn't sound right, you know, you should definitely speak up.
That's a case to ask what, for a retest or a second opinion?
Right. Ask for a retest. I mean, you know, the grandmother, the 68-year-old woman who called me who failed that drug test, she tried that, right? She said, no, this isn't true, demanded that her specimen be sent to another lab. For her, you know, it didn't necessarily work out that well because she was still in this terrible predicament of having to find a new doctor and having to go to the emergency room. But at least she had evidence that she hadn't been abusing these other drugs. And so that actually is why she was treated in the emergency room, because they knew she wasn't a drug abuser based on those other test results.
Ellen, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
That was investigative reporter Ellen Gabler talking about a report on common medical tests that are rarely scrutinized but sometimes can lead to incorrect medical care.